What I said I wanted to follow up on with you about Matt Kemp, because that's another thing that goes to a recent conversation with our friends from the sports train down in Fort Myers here. We were talking a little bit about that. I put my theory to the test after I talked to them when I went home and I asked my dad a couple questions, because I used him as my personal focus group on this. My dad is the typical guy who, like, he's not a big baseball fan at all. Mm-hmm. But back in he could tell you, like, a couple years ago, like, he knew who Greg Maddux was, Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa. These guys he knew.
Sure.
And in our conversation on the Sports Train show, they had asked me the question about that, about Matt Kemp, Clayton Kershaw. How can these guys be obscure like that? My theory is, I think MLB is doing a horrible job of marketing guys. Because I said to them, I said, if somebody that's not a hardcore baseball fan knows Matt Kemp, it's probably more so because of his association or past association with Rihanna than anything else. Because Kemp, MVP player, Kershaw, Cy Young Award winner. Baseball, they're doing a horrific job, aren't they, Ron? The players of this generation, the best players of today, you go to somebody like my dad, who's the perfect focus group. I mean, I even asked him, and he said, I haven't heard of these guys. What the hell's wrong with baseball? How are they not penetrating outside the baseball ghetto in the last couple of years? Because they were doing it pretty good in the 90s into the zeros.
Anybody on the West Coast faces the time difference problem.
Okay.
That a lot of your media is based in the East Coast, whether it be New York or the great mothership up in Connecticut or whatever else. You're going to fight the, I'm not watching a baseball game at 10:30 to see the Dodgers and the Giants play when I'm living in Pittsburgh.
Okay, but okay? I don't think my dad knows who, like, Jacoby Ellsbury is. I don't think baseball anywhere is getting these guys over, Ron.
No, but I think in baseball, they don't market the players as much as they do the teams.
Okay.
Okay? There are other – if you're doing a basketball game and the Cavaliers are playing the Indiana Pacers as they did last night,
mm-hmm.
in a normal game without injuries and whatever, mm-hmm. it's not the Cavs versus the Pacers. It's Kyrie Irving versus Danny Granger.
Okay.
That's who it is. But if it's the Red Sox and the Yankees, nobody ever says it was – Derek Jeter versus Nomar Garciaparra back in the day.
Right.
Or they didn't say when they were playing Texas, it was Jeter versus A-Rod. It was Yankees-Rangers. It was Dodgers-Giants. It was, pick it, White Sox-Indians, etc., whatever's going on right now. And there's so many players. It's kind of like football as well, in that there's so many players, it's hard to pick out one or the other.
Right.
In basketball, in hockey, you know, usually you have one, two, maybe three guys a team, and that's all you have to focus on. You know, it's hard for anybody to name all five guys who start for the Miami Heat.
So is it just that baseball's had such a turnover the last couple of years, and that maybe if we give it another 2, 3, 4 years, people like my dad will have heard of Matt Kemp? Is it just where we are in the cycle? Because 10 years ago, Ron, they were doing a good job of it. You named Nomar. You named, you know, Jeter and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of who the last player to come into the game was who's really known to the mainstream. I mean, do you think it's just where we are in the cycle of where all these guys are collectively?
Well, and that's part of it. If you turned on a sports talk radio station today, what did you hear about?
Well,
Hear about the hockey playoffs today?
No.
Did you hear about
Cleveland? Certainly not.
Well, but did you hear about, even if you turned on... Turn on ESPN radio today.
Well, they boycott hockey.
Okay,
so that's
well,
not a good...
but did you hear about them, the tight race in the NBA playoffs? Did you hear about the opening week and what's going on? Or did you hear endless talk about the NFL?
Well, and Bobby Petrino also.
Well, yeah. but that's a story that'll go away in 3 days.
Right.
Okay? And it'll stop being a national story.
Right.
But hey, let's do an off-season preview of what's going to happen for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Which I find sickening.
Yes. And part of it is, and as much as we love baseball and we'll watch it as I'm sitting here watching the Phillies and Washington over here on the monitor, is the incessant and free mm-hmm. PR that the NFL will get. And constant over, you know, they have their own. Everybody else followed the NFL's example of making their own network.
Yeah.
Now, all four big channels, or all four big sports, have their own network.
Mm-hmm.
I don't doubt that NASCAR will have its own network here at some point,
mm-hmm.
As they're probably the fighting hockey for number four,
mm-hmm.
Depending on where you are in the country. you know, they have that free PR, and that's why people know the NFL players, but ultimately they know the stars.
Mm-hmm.
They know who's making the difference and that sort of thing. And again, we go back to what I said in the beginning. Winning helps.
Yeah.
Why didn't anybody know Matt Kemp? Because the Dodgers haven't been very good.
Okay.
Who's been winning the West? The Arizona Diamondbacks, San Francisco, that sort of thing. That's why nobody knows Matt Kemp, not to mention Andre Ethier.
Right.
Okay? But tell me who the Dodgers were in the 70s, and you can do the whole infield of Garvey, Lopes, Bill Russell, and Ron Say, plus Dusty Baker and Reggie Smith and whoever else.
Right.
Okay? You can do that. You can do it in Los Angeles, but you have to win.
But, it, like, after the Giants won the World Series, isn't, like, Tim Winsicum the kind of guy that you would assume could become a celebrity?
You would
Back
think,
in the day, he would have been.
You would think, but
mm-hmm.
right now it all comes down to endorsements.
Yeah.
It all comes down to your Twitter feed and how often you're on Facebook and maybe who you're dating and that sort of thing. And with a very heavy East Coast media,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to pay attention as much to the West Coast. It just isn't going to happen. It's like finding out, you know, there are great teams in Dallas
mm-hmm.
who, you know, the Mavericks go out and win a title. There are great, now, albeit it's hockey, but there are some great hockey teams in what they call flyover country.
Yes.
You know, St. Louis, Detroit, when the Blackhawks went out and won. There aren't many people who are out there outside of Chicago who could tell you who Jonathan Toews is.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do it. They wouldn't know who it is.
Right.
Okay? I guarantee most of them can't tell you one guy who plays for the St. Louis Blues right now.
Right.
It just isn't going to happen. Not just because it's hockey. But if you're noted enough, and by the way, the other thing, and this may be a very small thing, and it doesn't really work in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
the basketball are the only one where players don't wear a hat or a helmet.
Right.
And that's how their faces are recognizable. That's why you promote players as opposed to hockey. Football, you can do it, but that's because they're constant PR. But baseball, you're always wearing a hat. You're always wearing a helmet. You can actually take your hat off, walk down the street, and some baseball players aren't even recognized.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I've always thought that in terms of hockey, and while this might sound a little bit outlandish, I've always thought that in terms of a potential invention, the kind of invention, first of all, I think the person who could come up with this would be a gazillionaire, and I think that the sport would benefit tremendously. If they could find a way, and it would be tough because you're talking about the padding in the helmets as well as the helmets, if they could find a way to make it as close to perfectly clear as they could, mm-hmm. that would really, really help to where you could see the face and the hair and everything like that. I think the technology could come at some point. That might be pie in the sky, but I do think it could come at some point, you know, once somebody really kind of acts on it. But that's the kind of thing like what you're talking about that would help you start to relate to them a little bit more because, yeah, there would be something of a barrier there, but it'd be something you could see through completely.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing that baseball fights is it's kind of considered an older person's game.
Yeah.
There aren't as many kids playing it anymore. It's harder to get, you know, people to go out and play it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a little league. You got to have the certain equipment. You got to have these sort of things. And, you know, I coach a 12-year-old little league team. And, you know, I bring up names that you would think they would know, and they kind of look at me like, who's that? I've never heard of him. I mean, they've heard of Indians because they live here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you bring up, yeah, did you see that play Brandon Phillips made last night? No.
Maglio Ordóñez, when did he play, Grandpa?
Well, I do a great one as I work in the infield, and I'll pick up a ground ball, and I will toss it from my glove and not put it into my throwing hand. And it's, hey, just like Omar Vizquel. And they look at me like, who? Remember, these are 12-year-olds, so they
yeah.
weren't here for 95 and 97 and,
right.
you know, the great runs. They don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, of all things you said, I think the best explanation, and the one that should probably send the most chills up the spine of everybody in baseball, I think what you said tying it to the NFL thing is probably the best explanation on this. Because what puts that in my mind is from doing so many segments the last several months with another one of our dignitaries, Kyle Ross, who always hammers the point about the dominance of the NFL under Roger Goodell, they're taking over the world and everything like that. I think you're absolutely right. I think that's something that should really scare the hell out of Selig and everybody else. I think the main reason they're not getting any celebrities into the mainstream is because the NFL's sucking up all their oxygen. I think your point on that is the most right out of any of them.
You know, we were talking as we got here about what the sports talk radio in Cleveland actually does.
Mm-hmm.
a team that hasn't had a winning record in several years and that sort of thing, and it's completely dominated by football talk.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's that other way in many other cities as you go. I'd love to hear what a New York sports talk does these days. You have a team in the hockey playoffs. You have the Knicks, who everybody always thinks is going to win a world title, mm-hmm. even though they haven't won in 40 years. You know, you have the Yankees. But I'll bet you more calls than not are about the Jets and the Giants and what they're going to do in the draft rather than the Yankees, the Mets, the Rangers, the Islanders, the Knicks, the Nets, and anything else going on in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just turned into that way now. And I don't know what baseball can do to get it from being perceived as the older person's sport. Part of it is that it's a unique sport. It's the only one where the defense has the ball. There's really the only one without a clock. You can play a 2.5-hour baseball game or you can play a 4-hour baseball game, and they both go 9 innings.
Dimensions are different in different parks?
Different rules, one DH, one no non-DH.
Yeah, ground rules in the different parks.
You know, personally, even though I've lived here 30 years, I'm still a National League guy. I hate the DH because I think it takes away many, many decisions that a manager has to make. He never has to decide, do I pull the pitcher and put in a pinch hitter, even though the pitcher's only given up 2 runs in 6 innings, but I got a guy on second base in a 2-2 game, what do I do? You don't have to make that call in the American League. You just send up another masher to go hit the long ball.
Well, along those lines, last question for you before we start to get to predictions and bringing it full circle here. I'm going to be writing about this for our blog at some point in the near future because I, like you, am something of a traditionalist, and I've even berated you from time to time about how TV has treated the World Series and the postseason, things like that. So, again, I'm uber traditionalist guy. I look at this like the DH still adds differences between the leagues, but I think it's almost more akin to the American Conference and the National Conference. You don't have separate umpiring crews anymore. You don't have Chubb Feeney getting red-faced before the All-Star game, yelling at the National League guys to go beat their ass. You don't really have anything, I think. Growing up, did you ever hear the initials MLB growing up?
No.
I don't even know when that came into parlance.
No. It was all AL and NL, and they were separate leagues. And, and they enjoyed being separate leagues.
Yes.
Now, that was before interleague play, and I think interleague play is still good.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to find out how good it really is next year when it goes every day.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be an interleague game every day from opening day to the end of the season when there's 15 and 15 in each league. Then we're going to see. But the problem is for every good Indians, Reds, Yankees, Mets, those kind of games, unfortunately you get Detroit and Houston.
Right.
Okay, that have nothing to do with each other. Or, you know, Tampa Bay and, you know, pick your team, Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. That I don't care. This means nothing to me to be interleague. The rivalries are great. You know, they always want to see here in Cleveland, Indians, Pirates, and Indians, Reds.
Right.
Great. Do they want to see Indians, Rockies? No.
Right.
But we've seen that happen 2 or 3 times since interleague play started.
Yeah, exactly. Now, my proposal is going to be, and again, I think this is pie in the sky for the next couple of years, but I think in 10 years they may start to take another look at it. Because I think the DH, as a traditionalist, I think that is the last remaining difference between the leagues. I think that is the last remaining link to tradition, the fact that one league does it, one league doesn't do it. And I think once both leagues have the DH, as they will inevitably at some point, I think that any talk of the past, I think, and links to it is going to be a joke. And at that point, I would say, why don't you just be honest about what you are, realign the leagues on market size. What if we had a division that was nothing but, say, the Reds, the Indians, the Pirates, Kansas City? What if you had the Mets, the Yankees, the Phillies, the Red Sox?
Well, that's also geographic.
Yes.
In other words,
so
if your division was Boston, New York, Philadelphia, and Baltimore.
But that would be in one league, and like the central that I'm talking about would be in the other league.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think about something like that and the feasibility of that as a means towards, again, providing some sort of leveling that otherwise will never be there between the different market sizes?
I think I smell burned apple pie over in the oven for your pie in the sky.
Okay.
I don't think it has a chance of happening.
Even in 10 years?
I don't think so.
Okay.
The first thing that will have to happen, and it started to, but ultimately they have to share revenues. You have to make Kansas City on equal footing as, you know, Detroit and Philadelphia and Los Angeles.
Right.
And it's never going to happen. The teams that make a lot of money from either their own channels or their own separate deals or just being, you know, even a team like the Cubs, you know, they can be not very good on the field, but they still pull in 3.5 million fans every year. And it doesn't
right.
matter whether they're winning 60 or losing 60. They're still going to pull in the same 3.5 million fans.
Right.
Those teams don't want to share their profits.
Well, this has yet to manifest itself, but I read this a couple of years ago, somebody making a prediction, and I think this may bear out over the long haul, that this is going to be a real leveler. And that is the fact that at some point, maybe about 10 years or so ago, Bud Selig rammed it through that the Internet was to be treated like the national TV contracts. In other words, everything that comes out of MLB Advanced Media, MLB.com, MLB Network, split 30 ways
evenly. We call
evenly.
It BAM in the industry.
Okay.
Baseball Advanced Media.
Baseball
BAM.
Advanced Media, okay. And that is something that over the long haul, as things gravitate more towards the web, that it will provide a leveling effect, some people are saying, to where local TV won't matter quite the same degree. Do you think that will be the case?
It could help, but I don't think it's going to completely even things out.
Okay.
Because what will happen is someplace like, let's say, the Yankees will put their own channel online and somehow it'll work out so they're going to get some money for their broadcast and a Yankee fan in Phoenix can watch his team. Not that they can't do that now.
Yeah.
Between extra innings or the satellites or whatever, but another way to do these sort of things. It also depends on the technology, as we've seen
mm-hmm.
now that you can watch TV on your phone and listen to the games on your in your car on the satellite and whatever else, all these things are going to help.
Yeah, they are. They definitely are going to help in that way. Last thing to mention to you also, too, and I know that as somebody who follows this as much, perhaps you'll know this. I know some other people won't. Big revenue stream that BAM is involved in, online media that's completely outside of baseball. Do you know what I'm talking about in the last year?
Well, you've got all kinds of things that they're doing, but, you know.
Something that people don't at all associate with baseball. Very controversial kind of thing that they're involved in.
They didn't say anything about Fidel Castro, did they?
No, okay. No. But I'm sure it's a topic on this channel. They're actually
don't
handling,
forget international expansion of all the sports.
Yeah,
that's probably true. Baseball has the best opportunities, but some of the hotbeds for international baseball talent can't support a team. That's
yeah.
part of the problem. Basketball, you could go do it. You might be able to play in Europe. You might be able to play in other places
mm-hmm.
because there is basketball talent there.
Right.
Problem is, you're not going to go set up teams down in the Dominican. You're not going to set up teams in, you know, other places like that that can support an MLB team.
Right.
So they're going to have to get their international money from feeds and getting somebody in, you know, Port-au-Prince in Haiti. Or in, you know, San Pedro de Macorís or whatever,
mm-hmm.
to be able to say, yeah, I want to watch the Yankees. I want to watch the Cubs. I want to watch the whatever and getting the international interest in. That's what that World Baseball Classic is all about.
I think the best way to do that is to develop satellite cities in the different countries of where maybe you play a series or two a year in that city, and that basically, like, that city is basically co-branded with you. I think that might be a decent way to do it, of where that city is sort of like a sister city of the major league team. But the answer to my question was it's actually, a lot of people don't know this or realize this, MLB, and they're going to make a lot of money off this, because I think they probably have already off the subscriptions. They distribute Glenn Beck's online channel. Glenn Beck TV is actually handled through the MLB Advanced Media thing, which, I mean, that's certainly not anything that people would readily associate with Major League Baseball, but they decided to make that deal, and they're probably already profiting from it at this point. They have to be because of the subscription fees that it has raised to this point. Picks for the year, I'm not going to necessarily put you on the spot. Feel free if you want to make any picks. Mine were in the American League. I think it was Yankees, Tigers, Rangers as the division winners in the National League, Phillies, Reds, Giants with Atlanta and Florida as the wild cards in the National League, and in the American League, Tampa and the Angels. Notwithstanding the Angels having to play a play-in game, they're actually my pick to come out of the American League because of what we talked about with the rotations, the fact that it's hard to find a weakness in a series the way that they're stacked up. I've got Phillies over Angels in the World Series.
I'm not going to argue too much with that pick as you can see the Philly memorabilia around my house and whatever. I'm not going to disagree with that. I would tell you there are some other teams you might keep an eye on.
Okay.
I would keep an eye on, especially in that National League East, on a team like Atlanta, who can just somehow go out under the radar and suddenly in July they make a big deal. They get somebody that'll help them, and they make a run toward the end. Central Division, I will never count out the St. Louis Cardinals.
No, you can't.
Especially with their pitching. And I like Arizona as well. Mm-hmm. They have potential along with their pitching. And I think a pretty good home field advantage at, what is it, Chase Field. I'm so used to saying the Bob and Bank One ballpark, obviously Chase Field. San Francisco's another one with their pitching. I think the National League definitely is much more up for grabs. The American League, I mean, we said they got six teams for five spots, and unfortunately, it's either going to be Tampa Bay or Boston who's going to lose out on that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's Boston, there's going to be hell to pay.
Yeah,
and I almost can't wait to see it if it happens.
After the kind of year, that they've had the last 6 to 9 months anyway since the collapse. Last question to ask you, since we're talking about Tampa Bay here, and something that was raised to me yesterday by another member of our crew, Steve Callis. He and I talking off air about this. He is of the belief that Tampa Bay, Joe Maddon, what they're doing with this shift, that this could be a thing, that their incorporation of these fielding statistics in there, that this could be almost a revolutionary kind of a thing as we continue to move along. Obviously, it's played a big role in the start that they've had in a couple of the games here. But the ability through these graphs and through these things that you and I as hardcore baseball fans see on the internet, the actual application of it in terms of, okay, let's move our shortstop over here towards this piece of gravel, you know, specifically here on the grass because the computer says the odds are if he hits the ball on the left side, it's going to be right in this vicinity here. Working in the sophistication, the increasing sophistication of these predictability models, do you think that that's going to be something that's going to be huge?
I think it's going to be something that would fly for a little while, much like, say, a wildcat in the NFL or whether I want to play with a point forward in basketball or whatever. It's something that will probably be around for a couple of years, and then people will make the adjustments. If you had players with a little bit better fundamentals who could hit the ball to the opposite field or lay down a bunt every so often if they had to, you know, you don't have those dramatic shifts. Nobody puts a Ted Williams shift on Jim Thome if he can hit the ball on the ground to third base.
Right.
Now, he's left-handed. That's obviously harder, and, you know, nowadays he's 41 years old.
Right.
But even back in the day, if he could slap one down the left field line, they'd stop doing the shift.
Yeah.
I'm not saying a guy with 600-plus career home runs should be bunting, but and he actually has pretty decent power to the opposite field out to left field. That's why the outfielders don't shift.
Right.
But hitting that ground ball to the left side for a left-handed hitter or to the right side for a right-handed hitter, if they could do that, you know, then these shifts don't happen. But there will be, as more statistics come out, I mean, you and I are both sitting here with computers in front of us and can look up anything in the world.
Yep.
I wouldn't doubt that Joe Maddon has an iPad sitting in the dugout somewhere who can look up the fielding percentage and the you know, spray pattern of where everybody hits the ball and says, all right, I'm moving my left fielder this way. Actually, frankly, as they do the shift, I love the fact when they take the third baseman and put him up the middle rather than the shortstop and let the shortstop play its natural position just to keep him where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
That
I
is.
Love that.
That really, really is. So you're saying you think that there will be, in the medium term to longer term, countervailing kind of things of like teams like, okay, the book's out on us, the spray patterns show that our guys are doing this, we must train them to spray the ball more evenly across the field.
Make them pay for what they're doing to try and defense you.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, you know, whether it's running more, whether it's stealing more, whether it's laying down bunts, we're seeing it now out of the steroid era where we have seen home runs go down for several years in a row. That there are teams who are learning to, they're not just station-to-station teams. They have to go first to third. They may have to lay down a bunt. Or, if nothing else, you have to have a productive at-bat.
Yeah.
You know, if you get a guy on second base, you have to move him to third. It doesn't matter how you do it. Bunt, ground ball, fly, whatever you have to do, you have to get him to third base as opposed to just going up and trying to hit the three-run home run.
Right. And that's...
You can't do that anymore.
Well, I mean, that's what sports are all about, I guess. Adjustments, counter-adjustments in our almost decade on and off together of tracing this behind the mics here, Ron. We've seen this, and I know that we'll see many different cycles of adjustments and counter-adjustments in the time to come. So great breaking down the season of baseball with you here. I look forward to a great 2012. Thank you very much, my friend.
Thank you.